I'm real happy about it. Amen. Saturday already. Thank you, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be saved.
Amen.
Did pretty good there. Sometimes you say that, and it's like, I'm going, whoa. All right. Okay. We'll take questions after. Okay. No. And amen. Praise the Lord. Saturday night. Take your Bible. Go to, I don't even know. I don't remember where, but it's all good. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Wow, that song, ladies, was outstanding. Man, I'll tell you what, and I've been involved in a lot of things in my life, and most of them I'd like to forget about, but I've never done anything where it's just decent and clean and pure, and you feel good, and you get uplifted, and man, I'll tell you what, this world's missing out, that's for sure. They don't know it. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of professing Christians. They got too much God in them to enjoy the world and too much world in them to enjoy God. And they don't get it either. They're missing out on it. And I'll tell you what, from where I come from to where God's brought me today, I sit back and I'm in the back row tonight because my wife picks our seats. And and I get sometimes, it's happened to me in Pensacola, I'll be way back in the back and just look out on the back of people singing and praising God. And I just think, I don't even believe God let me in on something like this. And I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 13. And Paul says this, says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Amen. Paul is reminding this church at Corinth that he loves. You can tell he loves them because he rebuked them. Amen. It wasn't the, let's just be nice. I think the politicians call it patient strategy or something like that. He gave it to them straight so they get right, and they did. And that's a symbol that he loved them, not a symbol that he didn't. And he says some things to them in this last part of this epistle. Now, he says to them the last things are their important things. And now you and I know that he wrote another epistle. But at the time this was written, Paul didn't know he was going to. So I say that, say this. I perceive that the things that we see here and that we're going to talk about tonight were very important to Paul, not for his sake, but for theirs. And he says to him, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. He gives them four things to remember. And I want to preach on that thought here tonight. Let's pray again. Father, I love you. I am humbled by the responsibility to stand in this pulpit where I know these folks are fed generously from the Word of God because their preacher believes it and studies it and commits it to them. Lord, I realize I'm surrounded by people that take this very seriously. I can tell it in their singing. And I, again, I'm humbled. And Lord, I want to say something tonight that will help someone and pray that it would be so. And that I acknowledge that that will only be so if the Lord Jesus Christ, you see fit to bear witness to it. And I pray that you would. And Lord, there's needs, many in an assembly this size, and I don't know them, all of them. I don't know any of them. And I couldn't meet any of them if I did. But you, on the other hand, you know where everybody's at, spiritually, physically, and you can help them. And I pray that, Father, we'd allow you to do that. And if there's somebody in here that's not saved, made it into our midst on a Saturday night, I pray that tonight, if nothing else, a curiosity, a seed would be sown that would cause fruit to abound to your account, Lord Jesus, that they would come to the saving knowledge of you sooner rather than later, perhaps even this day, but Lord God, certainly before they draw their last breath. And again, I do love you. And I pray you'd help me preach this so that you get some amount of credit and glory that you deserve. and because you deserve it. And I thank you in Jesus Christ's magnificent name, amen and amen. I wanted to sing the other page on Thousand Tongues. What happened? We stopped. Amen. And yeah, that's good. I mean, that's real interesting because I've only been in one other church, and I mentioned last night that was even aware of that, and I just beat you to the punch on that too because you are well aware of it, and aren't they beautiful? I'll tell you what, that was written, I hate to break the news to you, that was written by a Methodist that walked with God. Amen. All right, so now four things to remember tonight. Number one, he said to him, he said, watch ye. Watch ye. And let me say, first of all, on that, watch yourself. Watch yourself. Now, I know we've probably got a bunch of people in here that are saved, and if I was to go around and ask if you love God, and you'd say you did, and I wouldn't have any reason to question you. And you prove that to a large degree just by your faithfulness to these services, not just this week, but some of you I've seen year in and year out. This is my sixth time here. And but I still say to you, like Paul said, when he signed off this epistle, he said, watch ye, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, watch yourself. That book says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. And here's where the flags ought to go up. When the Bible says one thing, when the preacher says one thing, when the Spirit of God is bearing witness to one thing, and this, but I think filter comes into play. And that's what you do, and that ought to be a warning that you're getting off track when you start running what that book says by what you think about what it says. And you're heading down a wrong track right there, and it'll lead you to the wrong place. We are Bible believers. Amen. We believe what it says. We rightly divide it, and we apply it, and we don't correct it. We let it correct us. And I'm telling you something tonight. You see this all over Christianity. And when I say that, I'm not talking about all them other folks, because how would I know? I'm talking about our folks tonight. I'm talking about you better take heed. It says in 1 Corinthians 8, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. You know what that means? That means no matter where you started, no matter how much progress you made, wherever you stand tonight, you have not arrived yet. Because it gets better and better if you'll yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Amen. Who wrote the Word of God? These things never contradict. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. It doesn't even say, let him that standeth. You might think you're standing tonight pretty good. It doesn't even say that. It said, let him that thinketh he standeth. You know what? Because you've got a heart that'll deceive you in a hot pair of New York seconds if you let it. Paul says to these new Christians, he said, watch ye. I'm saying to you tonight, better watch yourself. Better watch yourself. Better watch yourself. Stay humble. That book says before honor is humility. It ain't about how much you know. It's about who you know. And I'll tell you what, if you know him, if you know him, it'll be real easy to keep your place. Amen. He's the king. He's on the throne. Amen. What a privilege. What a blessing. What a miracle it is that you and I have access to the throne of grace. But it isn't because of who we are. We have zero righteousness in and of ourselves. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank God for the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You keep that in perspective all your life. You'll be all right. You'll do all right. Might even be able to do something for God. He deserves it. Amen. But you got to watch yourself. Got to watch yourself. I'll tell you something else. You better watch out for the devil. Now, let me tell you what. He's a Bible believer, too. And he's a rightly divider, too. And he's more aware of the age in which we live and the time and that his time is getting short. He's more aware of it than some of us that claim to be Bible believers. And he's fighting harder than ever. And he wasn't intimidated by Peter. The Lord told Peter, who's a great, great Christian. In my opinion, I mean, praise the Lord, man. The guy was a good repenter. Lord told him, Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat. He wasn't impressed by Peter's faith. He wasn't impressed by Peter's zeal. Amen. He didn't care. Let me tell you something. He don't care about you. He don't care how many verses you know. He don't care where you went to school. He don't care about that stuff. Better watch out for him. Better watch out for him. Better keep your guard up. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The context is unforgiveness. But the word devices is plural. Amen. That's not the only thing that he feeds and nurtures in us, unforgiveness, this wounded spirit thing. The devil's created great chasms in the church of Jesus Christ with cliques and Phariseeism, but also with bitterness and grudge holding. Amen. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you need to watch out for the devil. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 says this, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know what the devil's goal is? To complicate what Jesus Christ intended to be very simple. Old drunk, drug addict, lifetime adult gang member can get saved in a jail cell 26 years ago, and like the song says, listen, I did get saved in a dungeon, and I was so aware, and I'm still so aware of what Christ did to wash away my sin, boy. When I got up, I went forth, and I followed him, and I'll tell you what it is, because of some spirituality within me, God saw fit to put me with the right crowd. It says on your sign, and I concur tonight, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Listen, the devil is not playing around. You better watch out for the devil tonight. Tell you what, religion complicates what Jesus Christ intended to be simple. It says this, you know this verse. Now that one said that as the serpent beguiled Eve, and boy, he's still at it, but boy, his goal, his desire is far more sinister than to beguile. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, are you Satan here tonight? Raise your hand if you are. Raise your hand if you say, your adversary, friend. The day you entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you got a target on your back. Amen. You got a target and you got an adversary, and it's the devil. Here's what Peter said. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, he'll beguile you. He'll make a fool out of you. But that's not his goal. His goal is to destroy you. We got enough Bible to know, well, we're secure. We're eternally secure. Yeah, your kids ain't. Your testimony's not eternally secure. Your ability to be, like I said the other night, to potentially be a vessel meet for the master's use isn't secure. Paul told this church, he said, watch ye. And I'm telling you tonight, beloved, you need to keep your guard up and watch yourself. Don't trust your own heart. But I'm telling you, too, you got an adversary, you got an enemy. And boy, I'll tell you what, he's the God of this world. Keep your guard up concerning him. Watch out for the devil. One more. One more. How about this? How about this? Watch for the Lord. Paul, man, I'll tell you what, he was captivated with desiring for the Lord to come back. And he says this in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You need to watch for him. Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 24 and 44, watch. He said, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. That means this right here. Now, I don't know. This is Minnesota is a lot like where I grew up, Northern Ohio. And before Vidiot games, I said it the way I meant to say it. When we were kids in the summertime, forget about sitting around the house, man. When school was out, I tell you what else was out. We were out in the field, out in the yard. We were out. Mom would kick us out. There wasn't no sitting around playing games. And one of the games, you guys know it too, was hide and seek. Remember hide and seek? Okay, well, how does that go? If you can find somebody that can count to 100. When they got done, what'd they say? They say, "Here I come, ready or not." But I got that right out of the King James Bible. But I got news for you tonight. Jesus Christ ain't playing games here tonight. He's coming. Amen. And I hope you're ready. I hope you're washed in the blood. I hope you're saved. Amen. I hope you're walking by faith, because he's coming whether you're ready or not. Amen. It's such an hour as you think not. But I'll tell you something else. Between now and then, you know what he does? You know what I'd say to you? I'd say, watch for opportunities that the Lord sends. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9 here, it says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me." Amen. I mean, how does it get any better than that? Amen. There's a great door. It's going to be effective. Hey, listen, we witness, we look for opportunities, and we try to give out a tract. We try to place a word fitly spoken in a place that it can either be part of the process of sowing and watering, to set it up so God can give the increase. What a thing about a great door, but it gets better than that. That door will be effectual at some point. Not every time, maybe, but I'm going to tell you what. You know what keeps people from looking for opportunities, he says? It says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me." If it stopped right there, man, maybe we'd be excited about it, but it doesn't. It says, "And there are many adversaries." And that's why we're not looking for opportunities. Amen? That's why we're not. You know, my preacher preached a message. I was a young Christian, and I'm a military guy, and I'm a man, and things like that. And this kind of thing appeals to me. I don't think Joel would like it, but my preacher preached this message. No guts, no glory. Boy, there's times I've heard Dr. Ruckman preach, Dr. Easton, Jack Wood, these guys. Man, I wanted to get up and fight for Jesus. Amen. No guts, no glory. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You need to watch yourself. He told his church, said, "Watch ye," and you need to watch yourself. You better watch your steps. And then you better watch out for the enemy, because he's alive and well, fighting harder than ever. And I'll tell you what will help you with that, because maybe that sounds a little scary to you. Why don't you just watch for the Lord? He's no match for the Lord. I've explained that in no uncertain terms to convicts, in terms that my wife would give me that look if I illustrated it in such a way. Tonight, although she's really far back, I can hardly tell, you know. But I guess Holy Spirit said, don't say that one. Okay, I won't. But I'm telling you something tonight. Look for the Lord. Man, I'll tell you what. Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to have the Spirit of God inside of you? Isn't it good that the still small voice will speak to you? If you can keep the volume of the junk in your life down enough that you can recognize the still small voice of God. Now, we know this world, man, boom, 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 pounding. But even Christians, we get so busy. Sometimes even in the ministry, we'll get busy, we'll get active. We don't have any time to be still and know that he is God. Watch for the Lord, man. Watch for the Lord. He wants to speak to you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to guide you. He wants to use you. Amen? So Paul said this to this church, and I read through there, and I tell you what, he told them the truth, man. He loved them. That's a sign of truth. This day and age, people get mad at preachers if they tell them the truth. The Bible says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Amen? I appreciate when somebody tells me the truth, even if I don't like it. I know it takes more guts than to just placate people, patronize people. I hate that. I can sense it, and I hate it. All right, so he tells him. He says, "Watch ye," and then he says this. He says, "Stand fast in the faith." Stand fast. I'm reminded in Philippians 4, he wrote to that church, "Therefore," now listen to the wording. Now, this is a little side note. "Therefore, my beloved," Philippians 4 and verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Now, I don't know, and I don't want to know. But I do know. Now, are you confused? Because I am. How do the Bible correctors, how does anybody improve on the poetry of the King James Bible? Man, isn't that lovely? Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He's talking to believers like you, sinners, Gentile sinners that came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because they got honest enough to admit they were sinners. And when the spark, the hope, the blood of Christ nurtured something within their spirit to make them want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And buddy, he liked that. And the Lord likes that. And after giving them such a compliment, he says to them, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul wrote, stand fast 6 times in his epistles to the churches. And he tells this church at Corinth, stand fast in the faith. You know what that means? That means don't depart. Amen. Don't even waver. Don't move. I was in the army, and we're in formation. And when that platoon sergeant said, stand fast, they meant it. It means don't move. And that's what he tells this church in Corinth. He says, stand fast in the faith. And here's why we need to be admonished. They did, and we do too. Because 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, he told that young preacher, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, hello, we're there, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They just didn't backslide. They just didn't quit going to church one day. No, here's what the cause of it is. It's giving heed to seducing spirits. I'm going to tell you what, any spirit that tells you that you don't need that Bible, that you don't need prayer, that you don't need the fellowship of the brethren, anything that enters into your spirit that tells you this isn't important when the Bible says it is, that's the wrong spirit. Boy, a flag ought to go up. This isn't deep. This isn't hard. It says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Are you saved tonight? You're free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Boy, there's a freedom that comes with Jesus Christ that nobody knows nothing about. Amen, except somebody that's truly been set free. There are people all over this world that don't have a fraction of the liberties that we have that are freer than some of us in Christ. Amen. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He's writing this to a church. He's writing this to folks that are saved by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift of God, saved just like we are, eternally secure just like we are, name written in the book of life. The devil can't get it out with an atom bomb. Amen. Here's what he says to him. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's not warning them not to lose their salvation. Amen. But I'm telling you what, he's warning them that if you don't stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ made you free, you can definitely get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Second Timothy chapter 2, it says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We like that. I like that. But the next verse says, what does the next verse say? Help me out. Anybody got it? I'll get it. Okay. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and be not, let me see, I know it. I want to say it right, though. I do. No man, okay, there it is. No man that warreth. Amen, good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself. Entangleth himself. We entangle ourselves. Because we don't give heed. Because we don't stand fast. And no man is worthy to entangle himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It said, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's all kinds of bondage. You don't have to worry about being bound by sin and pay the penalty of it. But boy, you can be washed in the blood. You can be saved and eternally secure and still fall back into the bondage of carnal, fleshly lust. You can. Amen. You don't feed that spirit. You don't feed the spirit that is lusting against the flesh. You let the flesh run the show, buddy. It'll run it right off a cliff. And you can fall into the bondage, or you can fall into the bondage of false doctrine. We've mentioned a couple names this week, guys that were saved just like us, believe the Bible just like us, and they went off the deep end doctrinally somehow. And okay, you know what? All that's going to get straightened out at the judgment seat of Christ. We might even learn a thing or two. But I'm going to tell you what, when we go off the deep end doctrinally, it'll keep anybody else from ending up at the judgment seat of Christ, because we were a vessel meet for the master's use. Amen. And then people get entangled in the yoke of religious ritual bondage. Well, yeah, I tell you what, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you fall back into sin, go back and backslide, or if you get hung up in some hyper stupid stuff. Bondage is bondage. Let me illustrate that for you. I don't know what year it was. Maybe 81, something like that. There was a call came out. One of the guys in the club down in Fort Lauderdale got murdered. It was real convenient. It was December, so all the Northern Outlaws, we all went down there for the funeral. And we got on there, and we had a funeral and gun salute and all that. And it was a couple hundred of us down there at the clubhouse. And it was really out of character. It was about 6 o'clock. It's December, so it started to get dark, Eastern time zone. It starts to get dark, and all of a sudden, the house was surrounded by cops. They usually came early in the morning, and this was the first raid I was ever in where they came at that time of night. I mean, fire trucks came, first the helicopters with the floodlights, and here's a couple hundred of us that have been partying for a day or two, and the floodlights, and then the fire department came, and big old ladders go up on the roof of the buildings there on the property, and they're setting up big lights, and as the sun went down, I'm going to tell you what, it was bright as daylight. They surrounded us, FBI, DEA, Florida Department of Law Enforcement. There were cops, Broward County, Fort Lauderdale City. There were cops everywhere, gang intelligence, all Peacock's friends were there. Amen. And amen. Me and him know a bunch of people in common. You should have been there the day me and him met. Amen. We met at a church when he was getting his diploma. He had been told about me, and I'd been told about him. And so he knew I was a notorious outlaw gang member, and I knew he was a super cop. Amen. So he comes into the church, and he's standing up there, and he's looking around, and I spot him. I'm the usher, man. Nobody got by me, not in 4 years, without a welcome and a visitor's pack. Amen. I was a good usher. I'm telling you, ushers, you better take notice of something. If you give that as much energy as you ought to, God might make you go into evangelism, because I give that as much energy as I give this. And I'm standing over there, and here comes this guy, and you can tell he's a cop, because I can spot him, boy. And he's there, and boy, we lock eyes, and he's, you know, apprehensive, and he's looking at me. And I'm old school. I mentioned it this week to one of the men. Best defense is a good offense. So, man, there I go. I'm going right to him. And I walk up to him, and he's looking at me, and he's like, you know, a little apprehensive, not scared or nothing. I'm going to tell you, Brother Peacock, tough guy. But I walk up to him, and I shook my hand out, stuck it out, and I said, man, isn't that something? God will even save you cops. I mean, everybody knows people like me needed to be saved, but even them cops can get saved. Amen. So anyway, I'm there at the clubhouse, buddy, and there's a couple hundred of us, and they surrounded us, and, you know, they were way more nervous than we were. Because they'd get prepped, you know, them cops before they raid. Oh, these guys, they might do this and they might do. We were going to do nothing. That wasn't our first rodeo. I said, come on, let's get on with it. And they were real nervous. And one of these guys decides, the sergeant, you know, he's going to break bad. And he says, all right, we're going to fingerprint all these guys and we're going to take their pictures. Let me tell you something. Before all this computer stuff, They bring a cart in out of a big old SWAT team van. They roll it in there. It's got a Polaroid camera. Amen. And ink and all that. Because when I went to Toronto and I went to jail at the time, they scan. Okay, that's another story. And I was on a mission trip then. And so, I mean, there's a couple hundred guys. This went into the wee hours of the morning. And they're literally fingerprinting all of us, taking pictures, coming out with the little Polaroid, trying to file all that stuff. And we're just making fun of them and having a good time. But I tell you what really caused us to laugh. They got sick and tired. When I say they, whoever was in charge, they got sick and tired of us making fun of them and mocking them and really making them, some of their men, very nervous. And so one of the sergeants says, "That's enough! Handcuff all these guys!" And we laughed at that. Because it took a semi to bring in enough handcuffs for all of us. We knew they didn't have that many. That was the night I got introduced to something that had come known to be called the flexi-cuff. And they pulled out, now in mechanics we called them wire ties, little zip ties, you know, little, and you zip them, put wires on. When I go like this, I'm talking about a motorcycle, because who cares about everything else. But but these things are like this big, and they're thick, and they got like 50 of them in a pack, and I'm thinking, well, they might have enough of them. But still, in our thinking pride, that's plastic. Ain't no little plastic zip. We're big, tough outlaw bikers. I'm going to tell you what, man, them things, I think they was tougher than handcuffs, and they cut you more if you tried to wiggle around. And they zip-tied all of us, and the next thing you know, you got 200 outlaws on, and they got a little plastic band around, and none of us could move. Say, what are you saying, Brother Spurgeon? We weren't in a jail cell. We didn't have stainless steel handcuffs on. We were in bondage to a plastic zip tie. That Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And it doesn't matter what kind of bondage it is. Bondage is bondage, and a child of God ought not to be willing to go in any kind of bondage without a fight. And the fight begins at an old-fashioned altar, and the fight begins on your knees. You got an enemy, the devil. You got an enemy, yourself. And we can say that the world's our enemy. I'm going to tell you what, so few of us are making enough impact in this world, they don't even know who you are. But I'm telling you something, it is not acceptable to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You ought to, yeah, I'm not saying we got a long way to go, but I'll tell you what, it's not that far. Don't lose that time, that special time where you just get honest with yourself and do business with God, because you'll be reminded, I'll tell you what to be reminded of, how good it is to be free. I'm going to tell you something. You're American in here tonight. Freedom's a big deal to us, isn't it? Yes, sir. He said, stand fast in the faith. First he said, watch ye. And then he said, stand fast. And then he says, quit you like men. Quit you like men. Let me give you a verse out of 1 Samuel 4. It says this, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Now, you know, you see that, and you don't get the full definition of the word, but I'm going to give it to you. It means this right here. To carry through. To do something to the end, so that nothing remains, to discharge or perform completely. That's one of the definitions, and by the context in which it's used in the Bible, that's obviously the definition. Say, you want me to give the Reader's Digest? You know what it means? Quit your argument. It means finish what you start. Finish what you start. These days, people start things and don't have the character to see them through. And Paul challenges them not to be like that. Let me give you an example. One time, my little girl Evie, some of you know Evie, and she's about five, and it was me and her somewhere at a church. We were at a preacher's house, and I don't know, we were sitting around a table, and she did something, and I said this, I said, Evie, you act like a five-year-old. And here's this Sweet little child just looks up at me and she says, "Dad, I am a 5-year-old. She was too smart for her own good. And I thought, okay, yeah, I guess that. But you know what he says? Quit you like men. You know what that means? If you're a man, if you're an adult, act like it. He's telling this church, listen, you're full grown. Act like it. Quit acting like children. Amen. Amen. I'm serious tonight. Hey, quit you like men. Let me get my glasses on. Okay, yeah. In this day and age, maybe that's interpreted as meaning stop being men. Quit you like men. Maybe that's why modern Christianity has so little attraction to men. Eagle Beak's probably got a female pastor. Amen. I don't know. Anyway. Modern Christianity is so feminine. Amen. And you know what? Some of you wish I was just talking about the charismatics, don't you? Let me tell you something. I heard this one time. Everybody knows Peter's the doorman to heaven. Everybody, I keep trying to find it, but surely it's in there. So here you got the door to heaven. Actually, there's two doors. It's not men and women, you know, because then I'll be some kind of something. And so there's two doors. And the doors, over one door it says, men who were the spiritual leaders of their home. And there's a line. One guy's in it, but there's a line. And the other door, getting in it, says, men whose wives ran the home. Buddy, this line is as long as the eye can see. And out comes Peter, and he looks at the lines, and he notices the vast difference, and he says to this guy, this one guy, he says, "Wow, you're the only one in this line. Why do you think that is?" And the guy says, "I don't know. My wife told me to stand here." Listen, if you're a man, act like a man. You've been given the spiritual responsibility of being the spiritual leader of your home. You need to take it real seriously. You need to be the man. You need to play the man. You need to quit ye like men. Maybe this will help you. Men, don't quit. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a place for ladies. Oh, for sure. That gal right there spoke to ladies in there. You know what she is? She's a fellow laborer of David Spurgeon. And that she will get a cut. Amen. Of the offering. Anyway, let me say it again. There's a place for ladies in the service of Jesus Christ. But let's remember, it's the ladies' department. Okay? Amen. Some of you going, "Ooh, what does that mean?" Brother Stevens will explain it to you later. All right. So, four things to remember. Four things to remember. What were they? Watch ye. Still with me? About four of you. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. And then what was the last one? Be strong. Be strong. He's telling this church as he signs off, be strong. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's what we're talking about. Amen. Now, there's a personal friend of mine, and that's really understating it, but he used to sign Bibles with Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9. Maybe somebody had got a clue who I'm talking about. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Yep. And every kid's Bible I've ever seen Dr. Ruckman's signature in, that's the verse. And that ain't no accident right there. Be strong and of a good courage. When Paul tells his church, as he signs off and he tells his church, be strong, he's not talking about how much you can bench press. Okay? I know guys who can bench press 300 pounds, but the thought of standing on a street corner and passing out tracks terrifies them. Amen. Amen. When he says be strong, he's talking about the strength to stand up for what's right in a day and age when the compromise of principles and morals and convictions is unbelievable. Amen. I'd preach to tough guys all over the country every week who, if somebody came in and wanted to fight, they'd be ready to stand up and fight. Amen. That's okay. Nowadays, though, you got to be careful. This concealed weapon thing. My daughter, let me explain it like this. When Ohio got that thing right and started giving out concealed carry permits to everybody except convicted felons. Still sad about that. But I don't want the other convicted felons to have a permit. I just like guns. But anyway, people started getting them, and I'd come into church, and my little girl was still with me, and all these different guys, they go, "Hey, Brother Spurgeon, check it out." And they don't have a pistol. Amen. And they go, "Hey, Brother Spurgeon, check it out." And they show me they had a gun. I'm good with that. Buddy, I'll tell you what, if the shooting ever starts, I hope you know what you're doing. Amen. I'm hitting the floor. Amen. I'm not afraid of whoever's coming in. I'm afraid of some of you. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. You might go down and buy a hammer at Menards. That don't make you a carpenter. I got news for you. Ask me how I know. I bought a saw once. I can take a beautiful piece of hardwood and make the prettiest pile of sawdust you ever saw. Amen. So my little girl, finally, she says, "Dad, I thought the purpose of the concealed carry permit was that it be concealed. Everybody that's got one shows you." I know. But I know guys that would be willing to fight, and I'm glad that I'm glad for that. But so many of them don't have the guts to even tell their coworkers about Jesus Christ, to give them a track, to invite them to a meeting like this, so big and tough. You don't want people to know you love Jesus. Let me tell you something. I love Jesus Christ. Amen. I ain't ashamed to tell anybody, anywhere, that I love Jesus Christ. You shouldn't be either. That's what he's talking about when he says, "Be strong, but have the courage to stand for what's right." When so many that say, well, you know, they'll sing a song in church, but boy, by the time they get a block down the road, starting with what comes out of their speakers on their car, you'd never know they were Christian at all. Amen. Said one time in a church, "Why don't we get the offerings and pass around the offering plates, and get the ushers and pass around the offering plates. Everybody put their keys in it, and we're going to go out there and turn everybody's car on and see what the last thing you were listening to before you turned in the..." And people laughed, like some of you did. You weren't laughing, were you? Okay. And then some people got really nervous. And somebody go, "Can they do that?" I don't know, but... Good thought, ain't it? Amen. You go turn my car on, you get, because I'm always out of town. I don't even know where any of the stations are. Amen. Might get Carl Baker preaching at the top of his lungs, though. I mean, you might get that. He told this church four things, man. I'm almost done. Some of you have been done about 10 minutes. But I'm almost done. And he says to him, he says, "Watch ye." And he says, "Stand fast in the faith." And he says, "Quit ye like men." And he says, "Be strong." And he tells this church to be strong. And let me tell you something. I acknowledge that he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 6, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And listen, this is a battle, and battle gets wearisome sometimes. And that's why he told the Ephesian church and you and I, because it's in our Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, to verse 10, he said this: "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Because he never, he's powerful in his might always. Me and you might not be. Four things to remember in the days to come. I refuse to say years. I want to get out of here. I don't even want to say months. Maybe weeks. Amen. But until now, and the trumpet blows, a few things for us to remember. Watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men, and be strong. That kind of stuff fires me up. You know what it says in the next verse, verse 14? It said, "Let all your things," we're talking about four things to remember, "let all your things be done with charity." Charity. You know, charity is defined as love in action. And then you know what action is? It's walking it like you talk it. And the greatest example of love, of charity there ever was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let me say here today, I am so glad I got in on that. And I hope you have too. And if you haven't, you need to get in on it. You need to be saved. You need to understand this thing is so serious that Jesus Christ, I know it says, for God gave, but Titus 2 and 14 says about Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, because there's no other redemption. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said in John 14. I'm glad I'm saved. I hope you are. And if you are, you got the message. And as the Spirit of God impressed upon your heart, I hope you'll take it seriously. I hope your response pleases the Lord tonight. That's between you and him. But I'm going to say this one more time. If there's an outside chance you might be in here tonight and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you are going to spend eternity, because you are going to spend eternity somewhere, if you don't know on the authority of the Word of God, not hope or think or feel or grandma told you, if you don't know on the authority of the Word of God, if you're not counting on the blood of Jesus Christ to get you into heaven, let us open a Bible and show you how simple it is. If an old dope head like me can get saved, what a shame it would be anybody else would end up in hell from a church pew. Let's all stand. Bow our heads. Preacher, you come. I'm done.